City Council will reconvene from its recess. It is still Wednesday, and it is still Thursday, 2 p.m. We're in the 2 p.m. session, November 15th, 2012. Can you please read the non-emergency ordinance, item number 1308?
Adjust the utility license law to revise tax rate and tax base for telecommunications utilities operating within the city.
Yesterday, City Council adopted an accountable U.S. Department of Justice negotiated agreement that must produce real results and further reduce the city's use of force by our Portland Police Bureau. Today, we're looking at a utility license fee update that will create new revenue that we can use to implement police reforms and provide mental health and addiction treatment through the service coordination team on an ongoing basis. That's my legislative intent. To be clear, I cannot tie the hands of future city councils, but I said that I would find a revenue source to fund the agreement that we have concluded with the U.S. Department of Justice, and this is the way that I propose to do that. This code amendment will create a more equitable tax structure across the landline telecommunication companies in Portland. So this is a reform to an existing tax. Some have argued that I should have also imposed a cell phone tax or proposed the imposition of a cell phone tax. That would be a new tax, and I've not chosen to do that because I think the political lift involved with that requires more time and more effort. But this code amendment, this inequity among landlines has been, as we will hear from Mary Beth in a minute, Henry, has actually grown historically, has sort of grown to come to be as our landline taxes on Integra Telecom and on Comcast were updated. It needs to be closed. Currently, the city charges varying rates on landline telecommunications providers, 5% of gross revenues for companies like our hometown Integra and Comcast, and 7% of local exchange, the basic landline, which is a smaller revenue base for companies like CenturyLink and Frontier. The ordinance establishes a uniform tax of 5% across all landline telecommunications providers. And for me, it's about simple fairness. Mary Beth Henry, manager of the Office of Community Technology, will provide additional information about what that costs. Following that staff presentation, I've asked Clay Neal and the chief and others to then also, because of discussions yesterday, to present what the budget is, the estimated budget is for implementation of the DOJ agreement. It costs roughly, by OMF and Police Bureau estimates, about $5.3 million to pay for new civilian mental health professionals, better training, police conduct investigators, including in internal affairs and also at IPR in the auditor's office. And again, my goal is to put ongoing funding as the basis for continuing the service coordination team. So with that, Mary Beth Henry, would you please explain in greater detail what's in front of us?
Thank you, Mayor, and Commissioners. We're here today to take a first step in addressing an inequity in the city's utility license fee code. The utility license fee imposes a tax based on gross revenues of utilities operating within the city. This is a fee that is imposed on the utilities and not on their customers. However, realistically, the utilities pass these fees on to their customers. I think it's also important to note that the utility license fee is a tax for the privilege of doing business in Portland and bears no relationship to the right-of-way. I think we can all agree that the phone business has changed since the code was adopted. For one thing, there is competition in the wireline telephone business. There are currently 213 landline telecommunications providers in Portland, ranging from very, very small to very large, all of them subject to the utility license fee. Of these companies, two providers, CenturyLink and Frontier, pay 7% on a smaller revenue base, while the others pay 5% on a larger revenue base. By way of an example, a competitor provider pays 5% on its voice service, including features such as caller ID, call waiting, and voice messaging. CenturyLink, on the other hand, pays 7% on the voice service only, that is, the landline phone in your home, but not on any of the other features I mentioned, caller ID, call waiting, or voice messaging as examples. Under this proposal, every wireline telecommunications business in Portland will pay the same rate on the same revenue base. This approach was recommended by the city auditor in the 2009 audit on utility and franchise revenue, and also by the 2012 Office for Community Technology Budget Advisory Committee. The proposed change would generate revenue for the city in the range of $3 to $5 million per year. In terms of process, all the utility license fee payees were notified last Thursday, which was the day that the ordinance was finalized and filed. It would not have been possible for us to notify companies prior to that because we did not have an ordinance and it hadn't been filed. I just wanted to make that clear in terms of the process. We made every effort to notify all payees. In conclusion, instead of varying rates on wireline telecommunications providers, under this proposal, every landline telecommunications business in Portland will pay the same rate on the same revenue base, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
So if I have, which actually I do, and Mary Beth and I were going through my CenturyLink bill this morning, so I have a landline. I do have caller ID, so that's, if I just had a landline, which let's say a lot of seniors, I'm guessing, in our city have simply a landline, would I be paying actually less under this proposal? Would I be paying 5% on my $12.89 a month, or would I be versus 7%?
Well, the fee actually would go up slightly. And I know intuitively
which fee?
The tax that that would be passed on to the customer. And this is because with your landline fee, and let's just say that it's, for purposes of example, $12.59 a month, there's also something called extended area service, which is required by the PUC. Right. Currently, there is no tax on that for CenturyLink or Frontier, so that would be put into the mix, and an interstate subscriber line charge. So, for example, currently, someone with just a landline service would pay 38 cents a month, but with the 5% of gross revenue, that fee would go to 70 cents per month if all of the fees are passed through as we would expect them to be.
And so the extended area service and the interstate are Oregon Public Utility Commission requirements on CenturyLink or Frontier or whomever to charge us for those services, and those services now get folded into the taxable basis, I guess, of a one landline.
Correct.
Okay.
And I at one point had answered some Twitter feeds that it would go down because I was not counting the extended and the interstate, so this helps correct the record. Other questions? All right, let's get to testimony.
We have 10 people signed up. Great. The first four, please come on up, are Terry Parker, Adam Grisbickel, Joanne Hardesty, and Mark Farrar. And they'll be followed by David Olson, Charles Johnson, Ross Wagner, and Ted Gilliam.
Hi, welcome, Mr. Parker. It's good to see you again. It's been
so
long.
Two for today. Terry Parker, and I live in Northeast Portland. When the agreement was made with the federal government to reform the police bureau, you, Mr. Mayor, said, "I will find the money." However, after throwing around millions of taxpayer dollars on bicycle infrastructure for freeloading bicyclists adding to the streetcar system and subsidizing its unsustainable operation, and for a grossly overpriced and now defunct sustainability center, along with a host of other social engineering spending, the city of Portland is now swimming in debt and basically out of money. Raising taxes is not the same as finding money. Moreover, new taxes assessed on the telecommunication companies will be passed through to their customers. It's simply unfair and unjust to raise taxes on the people that can least afford it, such as senior citizens on fixed incomes and low-income households that still have telephone landlines. These groups are already paying excessive water, sewer, and garbage rates for the unconstitutional arts head tax if it is not successfully challenged in court, excessive taxes on their homes, now including the PPS school tax bond, the Multnomah County Library District for urban renewal, for police and fire retirement fund, etc., and a continuum of increased taxes that are being added on each year. To quote an elderly couple that was at one of the Portland Plan meeting roundtable discussion groups, "We are here to see that they, you, are doing to us now. We cannot afford to live here anymore. Many senior citizens are just barely hanging on, struggling to keep their homes. Are you trying to do a cleansing so financially distressed people will have to leave Portland? Look outside the window. The occupiers laying around on the sidewalks all have cell phones. If anybody should be paying more taxes, it's the young creative types that are the chief beneficiaries of your taxpayer-funded social engineering programs. As an example, bicycle infrastructure is not paid for by the users and takes up considerably more space in the public right-of-ways than does telecommunications infrastructure. It also must be maintained with taxpayer dollars. If a proposed $35 arts head tax can raise $12 million annually, then an annual $35 adult bicycle license and registration fee, better yet, an annual $50 adult bicycle license and registration fee, could easily raise a significant amount of money without being totally absorbed by administrative costs. Once again, the process is broken. I first found out about this proposal in the Oregonian this past weekend. With it coming before council less than a week after notification, where is the public discussion and the vetting process? The way this tax is being implemented is no less financially raping those who end up paying the tax. The legacy left behind by this administration will be the greatly increased cost of living for Portlanders. To quote Margaret Thatcher, "Socialism fails when you run out of other people's money. There must be a far more just and equitable way to fund the police bureau reforms." Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Berger. And what was your position on taxing shoes?
I don't have a position on taxing shoes.
I'm mistaken. Thank you. Hi, welcome.
But I do pay for my sidewalk in front of my house.
Do your shoes pay for the crosswalk across the street? Welcome.
Mayor Adams, commissioners, I'm not here to talk about taxing shoes. My name is Adam Grisbeck. I'm the president of AT&T Oregon, and I'm based here in Portland. AT&T respectfully opposes the proposed ordinance of 1308 to increase taxes on telecommunication services provided in the city of Portland. The stated objective of the tax increase on telecom services is to fund obligations for police reforms that are a result of a settlement not related to the telecommunications industry. No nexus has been established between the kind of phone service Portland residents subscribe to and their share for the cost of mandated police reforms. Historically, taxation and franchise fee levied upon telecommunications providers in the city of Portland have been tied to just compensation for the use of the public right-of-way, which is a value-to-value proposition. Increasing these taxes upon communication services simply to pay for a new obligation the city has incurred sets a dangerous precedent. Furthermore, we believe that our customers and the customers of our competitors, who will ultimately be paying more for their monthly service as a result of this action, would prefer to have a say in the matter. AT&T would encourage the city of Portland to consider having the constituents in the city, in our city, weigh in on increasing taxes on the phone service to support police reforms through a more formal referendum. Lastly, the communications industry, along with the public, has had very little notice and limited time to digest this proposed ordinance and fully understand its impacts. The intent and effect of these newly added definitions to the utility license law do not appear to be completely necessary given the city's stated intent for the ordinance. We respectfully request, at a minimum, more time to assess and discuss this with city staff to ensure the ordinance does not have any unintended consequences. So in closing, AT&T at this time urges the commission not to act on this ordinance until the issues can be resolved. Thank you.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you. I believe I write
month to AT&T. So I just
want
to ask you two questions. The first is, under this ordinance, will AT&T customers in Portland pay more?
In our analysis of the way that the letter is drafted, possibly yes. We are also a competitive local exchange carrier as well as a wireless provider in the city.
So possibly yes?
Yes, and that's one of the things we'd like to discuss with city staff, because our analysis as the way that the current statute is written in regards to the new definitions that are being drawn up is that possibly our customers will be paying more too as a result of a pass-through to our consumers.
Have you had a chance to submit anything to staff to sort of give them a first cut on how you would calculate that?
Not at this time, not yet.
And the second thing I want to ask you, because you raised the question of nexus to the police reforms, so let me put you on the spot. Let's assume that the council intended to close this, what I'll call loophole, but was not going to dedicate the money to a particular purpose, but have the money come into the general fund. Would you still oppose it?
I think our position would be that it needs to go through any type of new tax would have to go through a referendum. I think that's been our position throughout the state, that any type of new tax on either wireless or landline should go to the citizen for as referred.
But again, I want to go to the nexus question, because you put that in the front of your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
If the mayor had not begun by saying these revenues will be applied to a particular purpose, and it just came in and we were just closing a quote-unquote loophole and the money was coming to the city, would that at least allay your concerns about the nexus argument?
No, considering this new form of taxation has nothing to do with our work in the right-of-way, then yes, I think that it'd still create some questions for AT&T.
Thank you, sir.
The nexus argument raises an interesting point, and I think it's worth clarifying that although it's the mayor's intent, legislative intent, that any revenue derived from an increase or a tax on gross revenues versus landlines only go to pay for these reforms, technically this money goes to the general fund and only to the general fund. It's up to the council to appropriate the money. I guess I want to make sure I'm not getting that wrong.
Nope. Okay. That's what I said in my introduction.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
So all changes to telecommunications fees and taxes should go to a vote of the people anywhere in the state of Oregon?
Well, I definitely also feel it should be discussed with the providers first. And in this
was
case,
that,
it has
I asked you, does that apply to every change in fee and taxes on telecommunications? Is that the position of AT&T?
I think it's kind of hard to say just, you know, across the board with any type of proposal that can be out there. I can't just answer to that. I don't think that's fair.
Well, you said that the face value of is and what you said earlier was that, and I'm asking to clarify.
What I said was unless there's a value proposition for there's a certain amount of work that needs to be done on the right of way, a taxation along those lines.
So you don't you. And I do some testing assumptions here. Mm-hmm. So you don't agree with the notion of a privilege tax?
I think what we've been doing with the city of Portland and paying towards this tax in the past has been consistent. We haven't had a problem with that. We haven't opposed that. It's the broadening of the tax base that's a concern to us.
All right. This is tax equity. We feel it's closing a loophole. It's not a new tax. It's applying it fairly across companies. It's pretty easy if you oppose something to say that it should go to a vote. I will let you know, and you can refer this on to your board of directors. We take a lot of grief up here for your cell phone towers all over the city, and it would be very nice for us if we referred them to a vote. But we don't, because we have to make stewardship decisions on your behalf sometimes that you like and on other times you don't like. Ms. Bowen. Ms. Hardesty, sorry.
No worry. Good afternoon, Mayor, City Council. For the record, I'm Joanne Hardesty, and I am here. I didn't think I'd be in between two guys in very nice-looking suits, but actually with the same message, that I think that this funding mechanism is the wrong mechanism for police accountability. And let me just separate police accountability from telecommunication. because A, I don't see the connection, but B, I think our responsibility, and it's a citywide responsibility, is to ensure that our police department operates with the greatest integrity and they protect the constitutional rights of our most vulnerable citizens. I don't think the 150 to 200 people who would end up paying for police accountability under this scheme should be the only people investing in making sure the police uphold our constitutional rights. I am concerned because of the way you've identified this funding pool, there's only a sliver of Portlanders who are invested in funding police oversight and accountability. You're looking at me strange like I said something weird. Am I not making my point? And so what I would like to encourage you to do is to look for funding for the first year of funding and let the new city council develop a long-range funding plan. I think that this is too important to just put it on the backs of a few of the Portland community residents. I think this is something that we all have to invest in. For example, I don't know that we've gone through the Portland Police Bureau's budget and decided what of the special programs we won't do anymore. All these special task force, and we have way too many of these people who are sitting in committees and they're not out on the street. And so if the problem is we don't have enough police officers on the street, I think what we should be doing is going back to the core services that Portland police officers are supposed to provide, which is to protect and serve, and then they need to be retrained so that they're effective in protecting and serving. And so my biggest concern is that this will be on the backs of many people who are really ill-equipped to fund police accountability. This is a citywide effort, it's a citywide problem, and it needs a citywide solution. And I think rushing this through is a mistake.
So let me be clear. This was identified in 2009 as a recommendation by the independently elected auditor.
Yes.
My choices are to have three choices: an unfunded agreement, cut somewhere in the city, mm-hmm. or find revenue source. This goes to the general fund and the city council how it decides how it's being decided. So I don't, while I respect what your point of view, I don't agree with it and I don't understand it. But my preference is to enact, close a loophole that is identified years ago as a means towards being able to have something much more, to have a funded agreement, not an empty agreement.
And to be even clearer, there's nothing in this ordinance that directs the funds anywhere. It goes into the general fund, and the three of us will be continuing along with the new two members of the council. We'll be deciding how, because I absolutely agree with you, this is a responsibility of all the citizens of Portland. Once it goes into the general fund bucket, then we have a responsibility to make sure that all the pieces, and this doesn't fund everything anyway, even if it were dedicated to it. So I think you're making a good point. However, this ordinance doesn't specify this particular bucket.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. I appreciate that, and Mayor Adams. But when the mayor says, I am doing this tax to pay for this,
that's the amount it costs, and that's the amount it's proposed. So, but it isn't legally tied. Those are when I said and I introduced it, it's my legislative intent. It's right. Not a legal dedication because that's not possible.
Well, but again, it's going to be $3.8 to $5 million a year is what you're anticipating in revenue. The reform efforts are going to start at $3.8 the first year, and it's going to be $3.4 million for the next 4 years after that. And so,
again, they're not dedicated. I am taking the auditor up on her recommendations to identify inequity in the landline telecommunications taxes levied by the city, and that is an amount of money that allows us to the council now and into the future to have a funded agreement with DOJ. That's what this is. And that's what I said I would do, so I'm fulfilling my promise.
If I could just say one more thing, Mr. Mayor, I appreciate the fact that you said you would look for funding and you think you've identified it. But when you use the term equity and we're talking about police reform.
No, this is equity among telecommunication providers.
You know, that word's getting thrown around way too often, and I think what we're talking about,
this is, we have two companies that are being taxed in one way, and we have two or more companies that are being taxed in another way. We've been very clear up here. I've been very clear. This is about tax, a form of tax equity. That's what we've been talking about. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, Mark Farah, Vice President of Government Affairs with Comcast. I'm here today to say that we commend the city's effort at achieving tax parity. I'm not here today to comment on the pros and cons of the privilege tax in and of itself, but I am here to say that we appreciate the city taking an effort to achieve tax parity, at least on this part of telecommunications tax policy that Comcast customers are subject to. As the staff's report points out, there's been a number of years where there's been a disparity that Comcast customers are paying taxes on the exact same services that competitors here in Portland are not paying on. Ordinance does achieve a partial tax parity, and the reason I say partial is because I would encourage the City Council, the Mayor, going forward to consider the other areas of tax parity that Comcast customers currently are subject to. I think you mentioned, Mayor, the area of cell phone service. If you look at a call as a call as a call, Comcast customers making a phone call, no matter where they make that phone call, on a personal device from their home, there's a tax parity question there. And then, of course, the longstanding tax parity question on the television services, which is there's a city-imposed 5% franchise fee, and for customers that take their television service out of the sky, there's absolutely no fee that is based upon those services, which is a possibility, and many states across the nation have figured out a way to achieve tax parity by state statute and therefore through local efforts as well. So I want to thank the city for taking this effort just about tax parity and achieving it in this manner. Happy to answer any questions, and again, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Next four are David Olson, Charles Johnson, Ross Wagner, and Ted Gilliam.
And David Olson, that name sounds so familiar.
The last three who signed up are Mark Trinchero, Larry McMillan, and Chris Denzel.
How many David Olsons could there be?
It's a unique quantity.
Mr. Olson, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you so much. Mr. Mayor, I'll go ahead and get started. I think was passed out wireless state tax rankings to you. These are wireless industry figures. What I'm going to mention starts on at the very end of page 2. You need to turn it over and look at the very, very, very last item. That would be below Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, and everyone else. Just so you know. Again, I'm David Olson. I am a private citizen. I have formerly had the privilege of being your cable director for a number of years. I wanted to mention this again. You're familiar with it. First of all, very much this is all about the general fund. This has been general fund forever. This is, you know, the decision between what you put, how you fund your general fund is completely separate from your expenditures, and I can absolutely vouch for that, as we always have. Nearly 10 years ago, the City Council asked the cable office to come back with tax equity for utility license fees, and we did. There were two council work sessions on this very subject, and we brought back a proposal for tax equity for your existing telephone tax that's been there since World War II. What's in front of you today is not that tax equity. Let us understand that. It is not. In fact, of the folks on the council, Commissioner Leonard walked the plank more than anyone else and went all the way with it and was one vote shy of true tax equity. Why? Because the fundamental flaw here is drawing a distinction between the phone you plug into the wall and the phone that everyone is carrying around, and many of you may be packing as I speak. And that is a different tax treatment, and that artificial distinction. There you go.
The, we used to have AT&T service.
There you go. The lack of paying attention and taxing differently the phone that you plug in the wall versus the phone everyone's carrying around is the fundamental flaw. As you know, Mayor, I've said this for years, and I do need to underline that again. This is not the solution we brought back, nor is it the overall solution recommended in the 2009 audit, which was the subject addressed to our bureau. The overall context of that audit, only the auditor can ultimately speak to it, but was to tax phones the same, including the wireless solution. So to me, this is not the 2009 solution either, with all respect. It is a portion of it, and I will grant you that. And to that extent, I applaud you for doing this. However, you are slapping a patch on a bald and leaky tire, and you are exacerbating the differential tax burden by having the wireline folks pay for the free ride of the wireless folks. So this is not that solution. The ultimate solution of treating all phones in the city fairly remains in front of you. It's not a new tax. It's a fair tax. That's what you're seeking. This is not that solution, and it's an honor to say that yet again to my very dear friends and former employers on this city council. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Olson. If you don't mind,
please.
For the last one plus years, it's been difficult sometimes for me to feel inspired, and it's refreshing to have you come and, with your background and experience, articulate what I have grown increasingly frustrated to even talk about, and that being not only is Oregon in terms of tax burden on individual citizens near the bottom of the heap, schools are paying, I think, a total tax burden, we're like three or so from the bottom. But as you point out here, we are at the bottom, and it is a source of unending frustration to me that elected leaders lack what it takes to confront what is clearly a declining revenue issue that we're paying for in our streets and in our schools and in our communities and in our infrastructure. And you've done an excellent job of identifying that here today, and I for one, very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Woke me up.
Thank you. I call it a municipal crime in progress, and it's the difference between $20-25 million a year versus the amount you're getting. Exactly. It is a step in the right direction. Please understand that. Thank you.
Did you hear that, Max? He said it was a step in the right direction, but he hates it. Hi, welcome.
Ross Wagoner, General Manager, Frontier Communications. Although the small provider, Celic, in the area, for the first time, I have to agree with David after sitting on the other side of the table for all these years.
That's got to be one of the seven signs.
Thank you.
I am fainting.
This is the end days for sure.
Unfortunately, we were not notified, and I have not had time to give it to our council. I read about it in the paper. Someone else said that on
Mary
Saturday.
Mary Beth says you were notified.
It could have gone to one of her offices.
Our
maybe she sent it to a different state.
So you were notified, but you weren't notified.
But I wasn't notified.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary Beth.
Just to be clear.
Okay. I'm not going to go through my list because it's been said many times and I'm in agreement. In the background, information provided by the city staff indicated that the proposed utility license fee is similar to that enacted by the city of Eugene. And this is not entirely factual because the city of Eugene applied to all telecommunication providers, including wireless providers, which is the issue David was just talking about. The proposed change in the city ordinance is limited to wireline utilities and creates an imbalance in an extremely competitive environment. And I think someone else mentioned, as access lines are transitioning to what you're packing in your pocket, I agree with your analogy. It is a tire that is a short-term fix, and we would like to see something more equitable. And in fact, everything else has been mentioned, so I'm going to just pass it over to the next person. Thank you.
So could I just clarify, you would be supportive of an across-the-board parity?
We're looking for equity between all in the telecommunications, and this does not do it.
Good to know. Thank you.
But you would still have, even across the board equity, you would still have potentially a tax increase. You're okay with that if it's across the board?
I think if it's across the board, I'm speaking for myself, but I would think after operating different environments in the city of Portland, I think that's reasonable.
I don't mean to be talking out of line here today, but what you've heard the last two folks testify to is precisely what we identified in 2004. Was that landline companies found it very unfair that they would pay a tax that the cell phone companies are not paying, and did not understand the rationale behind that and where they might not actively support a cell phone tax. They certainly, at least at the time, Dave and I worked very closely on this at the time, told us they would not support such an effort because it would level the playing field. And one of the obvious benefits is what, you know, I hope everybody heard the last thing David said, he said it kind of quietly, is he used the term, it may raise $25 million. That was what we determined in 2004. I would say that in 2012, the amount of revenue that would mean to provide, and to be clear, provide police and fire services and parks and other general funded services would be even more, in addition to leveling the playing field. So that this is an area that, and I actually recently spoke with the mayor about the work you and I did, David, which was one of the reasons I'm gratified you came up and said what you did. But I do think this is an issue I hope the next council takes serious and considers pursuing.
So the companies treated most unfairly then are those companies that are already paying the 5% on landlines.
That's right. Because they're paying it, and other telecommunication providers are not paying it, simply because the communications go over a line versus a wireless exchange.
Hi, welcome.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Ted Gillum. I represent Integra Telecom. I think, as many of you know, Integra has advocated for a long time for a level playing field in the city of Portland, and we support this ordinance, and we think it goes quite a ways towards leveling that playing field. I would agree with everything that Mr. Olson has stated here, but falling short of that, we do support this ordinance. We would ask that as the city considers passing this ordinance, that they keep in mind that to make this a truly level playing field, we would need to allow competitive providers to deduct amounts paid to incumbents so that there is not a, I wouldn't say a double taxation, but an increase above the 5% that the city's asking for. As I explained further in my written comments to the city, that does create an inequity that is passed through ultimately to consumers and is not quite, I think, the level playing field that the city is hoping for. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, council members. It's interesting to see so many fine people in suits here, but no ladies in suits, unfortunately, talking about the possibility of revenue.
What's your name, sir?
Charles Johnson.
Mr. Johnson, please proceed.
So,
although there are some suits.
Yeah. So, I met among the business representatives. There was an underrepresentation. So, the idea that in the future the city may get more revenue from taxing wireless services is certainly an interesting possibility. It's unfortunate Mr. Hales isn't here right now to look at the revenue enhancement. But the idea that it's important to remember that the reason we're having this tax equity or revenue enhancement brought forth is because prior city councils have not been keeping essentially a strong enough leash on the Portland Police Department. Part of the purpose for this revenue is probably to hope that we won't have lawsuits from people injured by our police officers. So there's a mutual responsibility here, along with collecting revenue, for the city to do everything in its power to ensure that citizens are not mistreated in ways that will cost the city money by litigation. Moving on from that issue, I do hope that the city will look forward to what Mr. Olson discussed, and that is full equity, where you'll have the courage not to be dissuaded by Verizon and Sprint from letting them contribute to the city's general welfare. Thank you all.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you all. Next.
The last three who signed up were Mark Trinchero, Larry McMillan, and Chris Denzin.
Welcome. You just need to give us your first and last name, and if you're authorized to speak for or lobby on behalf of a business or organization.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. My name is Mark Trinchero. I'm with the law firm Davis Wright Tremaine, and I'm here today on behalf of TW Telecom and XO Communications. TW and XO, like Integra, are wireline competitors in the city who pay the full 5% on the broader gross revenues base. And we are here to applaud the city's efforts to bring parity. We do have some concerns about some of the wording in the ordinance, and we've raised those with the city staff. It's our understanding that this ordinance may be reopened again to look at water and sewer in the coming years, and we would hope to be able to make some suggestions as to how to fine-tune the language. The one thing that we are encouraged by are representations from the city's staff that, in fact, this change to the ordinance will not change in any way the amounts that TW and XO are currently paying. We just want to make sure that the change to the language doesn't allow that to happen.
And if I could speak on Mary Beth's behalf, I mean, part of the fine-tuning that will be required can only be done once this is passed and we actually start getting revenues and we can see whether some unintended aspect of this exists. But we don't have access to the books of everybody involved, and so there is a commitment to come back and fine-tune it when we have the information in front of us.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome.
Larry McMillan, corporate attorney for CenturyLink. Mayor and commissioners, thank you for giving us this opportunity to comment on the proposed legislation. The current Portland license tax structure respects limitations in state law as to the municipal taxation of telecom companies. Comcast understands from exchanges with staff that the city takes the position that the current law is, the proposed amendment is permitted under existing law. We respectfully disagree. The Oregon Supreme Court previously considered the expansion of municipal taxes to reach additional services provided by a local telecom provider and allowed that under the city's home rule authority as long as it was levied on the basis of an occupational tax applied equally to all telecommunications providers. And the key part in the Eugene decision was that it applied to all telecommunications providers, including wireless, with a physical nexus with the city, whether in the right-of-way or not. The proposed ordinance does not meet that test. I've heard the comments regarding this being a matter of fairness and plugging a loophole. I think those comments look at only one slice of a very broad range of tax and regulatory differences that are imposed upon local exchange telephone companies. And any change to the landscape needs to consider the total picture. As an example, CenturyLink, as a telephone company, is centrally assessed by the state of Oregon, including not only its tangible operating assets, but all intangible assets. The cable telephony providers, and I was speaking here of Comcast and their current litigation pending in the Oregon Supreme Court, is centrally assessed on their VoIP affiliate, but they are not centrally assessed on the same physical network, which carries the video and internet portion of their service. And this is a significant tax inequity. And we are talking about property taxes that are paid to the city of Portland and all other municipalities in the state. I would note that this will, if passed, would result in an increase in tax on our customers. And under Oregon law, the local exchange companies are required to pass through to their customers municipal taxes in excess of certain amounts. We have submitted a letter which more fully details the substantive basis for our position.
And your time's up, but I just would like to hear your response. So you think that so the second point you were making is basically that outside of the city of Portland, you have a lot of other requirements that some of your competitors don't have.
Yes.
Right. So, but inside the city of Portland, we need to treat people equitably. Some have argued this isn't full equity, and I'm not disagreeing with that necessarily. But why do you think that in terms of the City of Portland's treatment of you only, how do you justify your company being treated one way and, let's say, his company being treated a different way or Integra?
Well, let's be clear that a telecommunications company does not exist in the City of Portland only. You are part of a larger network.
Ask you to replow that ground. I'm asking you about our treatment of those that are in the City of Portland.
Well, first, I think we're having a difference on the premise there, and I think it's improper to isolate the terms within the City of Portland. But if you are going to look at the City of Portland, then also consider the tax revenues which from property taxes, which the city derives from local exchange companies, from other wireline carriers, versus both cable telephony and wireless telephony. And for example, wireless telephony.
Just on the issue in front of us today.
I think that's the point,
all right.
Mayor Adams.
I'm not going to get you to agree to basic context. Fair enough.
I have a question if I could?
Sure.
So, Mr. McMillan, thank you for your letter that we got. And there's two points you make on page 4 of your letter. I just want to make sure I understand your argument.
Yes.
The first is that you said that your CenturyLink continues to be disappointed that we grant preferential treatment to wireless communication providers. And is that essentially the Comcast argument that we should be treating the landline and the wireless the same and we don't tax them the same and that's preferential treatment?
Yes.
Okay. And the second point I guess I don't understand, because let's just assume for a moment that we are trying to close a loophole and bring equity at least among like providers. You may disagree with that, and I'm not trying to lock you into a position that comes back to haunt you at oral argument somewhere, but just let's assume that's our intention. You go on to say that we are somehow enlarging the preferential treatment through creating equity among like providers. How, it's the last sentence of the second to last paragraph, how would the action that we're going to take enlarge what you've described as the preferential treatment, which is we treat landlines different than wireless? How would this enlarge that preferential treatment?
By increasing the taxes that we pay, that a landline carrier pays, as compared to wireless carriers who are direct competitors, our customers are going to see an increase in their bill. And at some point, when a customer sees an increase in a bill, that is a triggering mechanism for the customer to reevaluate whether they need to retain a landline or not.
I see. So is it fair to say that as long as there's what you describe as preferential treatment, which is we don't tax the wireless companies, your legal grievance is that it's we're putting you at a competitive disadvantage?
Correct.
Okay. That I now understand. Thank you.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of the CenturyLink in front of the council. Mayor Adams, City Council, Chris Denzin, CenturyLink Vice President and General Manager. I don't want to belabor all the points that have been shared today. We can certainly rehash those for the sake of time. I just want to reiterate a couple of points. And one is understanding that this is a complicated issue. This is a tax issue. There are a lot of moving components to this. Larry and many of our industry peers have shared their comments today. I heard the council make mention that they don't want to explore a new tax on wireless providers. It's a new tax. Well, this is a new tax on a new section of ratepayers for CenturyLink that's not there today. So to take a position that they don't want to move forward finding equity in this particular business, which is a voice business. It's not a wireline business or a wireless business or a VoIP business. It's a communications business. And sometimes they are difficult to find true reform and true equity. You have to ask the tough questions and spend the time to solicit feedback and find that equitable solution. I also heard today that there is some outstanding confusion on what this tax change truly means. The mayor brought up an example where he was responding to Twitter that he felt that taxes would go down, when in fact he was just advised by his own staff that it wouldn't. I guess there's still confusion that's remaining out there today. So I do recommend the council to take the time to fully understand the impacts that were shared today from all of the industry players before making a decision, asking additional questions, and allowing all of us to explore those as we move forward. So I appreciate the opportunity to make those comments. Thank you.
So, Mr. Denzin, I guess I wanted to get some idea. You know, I expressed a little concern. I think I was doing the math out loud about my own phone bill and understanding the things that are calculated under the new, albeit a lower tax rate, gross tax, 5%. It would still cost me, you know, maybe 70 cents a dollar more a month. Are there, I'm just curious, how many landline customers do you have, if you know offhand, in Oregon?
In Portland?
Well, or Portland or Oregon. I'll take either one.
Portland or probably Oregon, since it's not a city-based service company. I think there are about 600,000 in Oregon, so I'd have to go back and revisit those figures. But,
and I assume that number is declining. I mean, we hear that. I know many people, younger people than myself, no longer have landlines. They have
that number is declining, yes, and has for about a decade now.
And to the extent the PUC, and Larry, maybe you know this answer, the PUC will only allow, like you said, this a certain amount of a local franchise fee increase or privilege tax increase to be passed along to customers? Is that what is that amount?
If I may answer, okay. Yes, by state law and PUC rule, for any local exchange company, it must include the first 4% of local taxes and fees as an operating expense. All amounts in excess thereof are to be passed through to the customers in the municipality that's levying the tax. Okay.
And that applies to CenturyLink, energy utilities like PGE?
Well, there are parallel provisions for large energy companies.
But CenturyLink is the only, maybe Frontier?
The rules apply to all local exchange companies. Okay. All incumbent local exchange companies operate in Oregon, and for the Portland area, that would be primarily CenturyLink, but also Frontier. Thanks.
Thank you all very much. So the on that last note, this record does stay open for 2 weeks, so we do have time. I'd like to get comments from official comments in or supplementary comments in by next Wednesday to Mary Beth. And we will definitely consider those. So this is heard again on what day in 2 weeks?
Do you want to bring back Thursday or back on Wednesday?
Let's do Wednesday.
Okay. We can hear it in the morning, Wednesday, November 28th.
Wednesday, November 28th. We continue the hearing. Thank you all very much. Appreciate your testimony.